email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Stephen James Smith, poet, performer and writer, joins us now in studio. Good afternoon, Stephen.
How you doing, Ray?
Good to see you.
You too, again.
So you're pure Dub, but you're now living in Wexford.
I am, down Wexco Way, and it's treat me well. It's a brilliant county, so it is. Yeah. Delighted to be
here. How long have you been there?
4.5 years, flown by. My quality of life has improved massively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There'd be a fair Dublin population down there, wouldn't
there? There would be, yeah, and there's going to be more blow-ins now. I can call them blow-ins, so I'm indoctrinated. There is, and there's loads of other artists I know that have moved down since I've moved there. Thankfully, it's a lovely community of people.
So tell me a little bit about the quality of life then.
Well, I live about a 20-minute walk from the main street. So day to day, I'm not stuck in. I was up for work. I actually started another job today, as happens, for first fortnight. But I day to day, I work at home doing admin stuff. So therefore, if I want to go out to my shop, I'm not stuck in traffic. Everything's in walking distance, 20 minutes. You got the Opera House, the great art centre, gorgeous library, cinema. Great pizza. I tell you, it's class. And then when I'm washing the dishes at night time, I look out over the Slaney and where it meets the Irish Sea, and that just kind of grounds me as well. It was a challenge that I had to take in moving there, but like, it's really paid off.
And what were the chats with yourself and your wife before you moved down?
Well, I didn't have one before down. Sorry. So, news to me if we did, and anyways, you know. But I moved down there by myself on Meonio, so I did, and since got hitched in Copenhagen, of all places. Yeah, we went there to get married.
So you didn't have to discuss it with anybody, it was your own decision?
No, it was my decision, but there's a slight lie in that. She's not from Ireland, so she came to visit a few years ago around Christmas time, and we went to see Declan O'Rourke playing in Waterford. But the night before, we went to Wexford because I had an idea, like, you know, it's great and all, but like, it's tough, I can't live here. So I was looking at places around there, and she kind of gave me a blessing because I like it. So there was a conversation, yeah.
But it is, I suppose, an important conversation, because I've spoken to so many people who've moved to Berlin.
Yeah.
You know, artistic people, and they just can't afford to live in Dublin.
Yeah, it's the reality for people, not just artists.
But that's not good for the city, is it?
It's not, no. You know, the soul will be taken right out of it. And, you know, what sort of society do you want to live in? But it's good for Wexford, you know, and it's good for other places. Sorry, I don't mean to be flippant.
Flip away. I can't believe it's 10 years since that ode to Dublin.
Yeah. Changed my life. Mad to think a poem can change your life, but it did. Like, it took me all around the world and bizarre. And this year has been great as well. I've been travelling all around, and I suppose last month I released another poem, sort of a 10-year follow-up and that's gone well as well. But, you know,
Talk to me.
It's on the usual social media places. Yeah. People can find it.
Hooking up with singers. So Niamh Berry's on that one.
Yeah, she's a great
singer. Wallace Bird was on the previous one.
That's right, yeah. I like to collaborate with people. And then, in fact, some of the artists I've met in Wexford, Baskerville, they're great lads. I work with them quite a bit.
How do you spell their name?
Oh, Jesus.
Is it Baskerville?
Baskerville, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I think it's a region around somewhere in Wexford. And the lads would work with all sorts of people, like Lemoncello and Susan O'Neill. But they do their own stuff as well, and they collaborate. So they helped me to produce this piece that Niamh sings on, and the other one with Wallace. And I love to collaborate with other artists because you kind of get to learn from them. They challenge you as well, you know, which is brilliant to kind of understand, well, is this what I really mean, or what do I want to say here? And but people you trust, and so it's great.
Yeah. Do people ring you up and go, Stephen, the next time you're
where are we going now, right?
The next time you're doing a poem, will you include my name in it?
you would get people ask you to write things. It's gas. Genuinely, you get all sorts of random emails. Like, you know, I'm going to Nigeria later in the year. That's from a random email
right.
I got last year. And today, that conversation leads me probably going to Ghana as well. random emails. And then
I was reading an article about you recently, and the previous week, I think, you'd been to Canada, then got a train down to New York.
Yeah.
And then were you over to Paris and over to Aaron Moore? Was that something
like so that? I was working with the First Nations people with an Inuit poet in Guelph in Canada, and I'm actually hoping to bring them over to Dublin for the first Fortnight Festival in January. And then the festival, they offered me to get my flights to New York. I had three events in New York. I went, you know, I'd like to get the train. It was 12 hours, and I spent an extra $40 on business class, which sounds very posh, okay? But it was still not great, far from great, okay? But I needed the legroom on 6'1". But it was really, it was debilitating. But like, I like to kind of see the countryside and go the different ways.
So notionally, that was a romantic thing to do. The practical side,
I do it again.
You do it again, would you?
I took a train to Leipzig last year as well, and I just like to kind of look out the window and take it all in instead of just flying over everything.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. Like,
so you do a lot of work, and you're saying you're up in Dublin for the first fortnight, and we were there at the very beginning of the first fortnight. It must be, is it 15 years
that's
old?
It's about 15. Yeah. So two friends of mine set it up. Yeah. They've since moved on to do other things, and I've been volunteering with them for 14 years. That's a lie. I'm getting paid something now because I'm doing a bit more than getting the bus into town.
Yeah.
You know?
But why did you? Because it's a mental health initiative.
I just got asked to do a gig originally, which I did. And then there was such a gorgeous community of people. I bought into the spirit of what they were about. I'm sure we all have had our own experiences with our own personal mental health and family and friends, and I just bought into the spirit of that, and they treated artists really well. They had a great audience. So, I mean, that built from a table conversation in Tala, a kitchen table, to running events right around the island of Ireland. So I'll be running events in January from Dublin, Wexford, Cork, Kerry, Limerick, Donegal, Belfast, Kildare, and probably a few other spots, right. So I'll be responsible for those.
So, mental health and art.
Yeah.
Yeah. How does it work? what's the big idea?
Jesus, how long have you got?
I'm intrigued, because, like, say, for example, we know now exercise and mental health.
Yeah.
They're now prescribing
exercise
for people, maybe going through depression or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and I know it. I know that obviously, if you play a musical instrument or you're in, you expose yourself to art, that it helps. But what's going on?
Jesus, loads of things. Well, don't they say if you go to an event that people's hearts sync up? There's a scientific study about that. If you go to see a theatre piece or whatever, so people will, you get a sense of community and belonging,
connection,
and that's what we're missing, unfortunately, a lot in this country right now. So that's one thing in terms of going out to a gig. But then people can create their own art at home, and it doesn't have to be, coming on to chat to Ray or whatever. Like, you can just do it for yourself first and foremost, and you get to discover a bit more about yourself as a result of that. And that's really incredibly powerful.
See, I think that's what we need to tap into.
Yeah, well,
art just for its own sake and not for, not ambitious, not to be U2 or, Stephen James Smith or whoever.
Who'd want to be me?
just doing it for yourself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, that's I'm sure, why everybody starts. I never had any, disrespected to talk to you or to anybody.
Yeah.
It just so happens that one thing led to another. But, I picked up a pen and pencil, in my bedroom out in Tala 20 plus years ago to try and write a song or a poem, and that's should
what's
always
the difference
be
between a song and a poem?
Oh Jesus. A bit of music or something.
Is a song just poetry with the music
in terms of rap songs are rhythm and poetry, but it's rap song, but there's obviously got to be a poetic feeling to it there as well.
Bob Dylan got the Nobel Prize for Literature.
Controversial. But I mean, look, it's a subjective thing. I'm maybe just a failed musician.
No, there's a bit of singing in the most recent one.
Yeah. Well,
so you're dipping your toe in the water.
I did an album before, and I like to do something else. No, right. I'm just speaking in that. But
yeah.
I sang in a choir before,
right?
So I did a few years back the La 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 choir, and that was great in terms of mental health.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ, as Damien Dempsey was saying, sing all your cares away. you'd walk out of the room uplifted as a result of it. So I enjoy singing, but I don't want to be a lead singer. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, happy sort of on the periphery.
Well, all the research and the anecdotal evidence about choirs is just amazing.
Yeah.
Now, unless you were told as a 10-year-old to lip sync by a priest.
Is this your story, right? give us a bar or two there now.
It's sort of triggering choirs are sort of triggering for me. Yeah. So you're down in Wexford and you're like poetry, right? And spoken word, and they're probably one of the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll say that for now. Yeah.
Like, I was reading Fintan O'Toole's piece in the Irish Times yesterday, and he built it on a couple of quotes from Evan Boland.
Yeah, yeah, she's daddy.
Yeah. And I'm only coming to terms with, you know, how poetry can cut through, because it's not prose, it can cut through things, it can say in one line what people try to say in a book or a, you know.
Well, don't we often turn to it when, you know, for funerals and weddings and these really important moments in our lives, we tend to turn to poetry. And there's a reason for that. So there isn't. It saved me. I know we're having a laugh, you're not. But that's the reality. It saved my life.
But how
in terms of the life it's given me and the connection and all.
Yeah, but did it save your life? Like, was there? Like, did you have mental health problems, for example?
Yeah,
you did. Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. No.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I've had my ups and downs. I've had a few. Thankfully, in fact, tomorrow I haven't had a drink. I haven't touched alcohol since a year. In fact, I was in Brussels on my European tour last year, taking the train to Leipzig, the mad things you do. And that's been a good thing for me as well.
So it's a year since you?
Year tomorrow. Right. Yeah, it was the last time.
Well, congratulations.
And not that that's any sort of a, like, I'm not trying to allude to having some sort of addiction thing there, but it's good for my head.
Yes.
The year has been a great year for me, and maybe that's part of it. So it is. And just to be mindful of these things.
And why did you decide to stop drinking?
I did before, actually, for a year, more than a year before, and then I went back on it a little bit. I was in the middle of the tour and I was on the road by myself in countries and foreign languages and all of these things and all these responsibilities. And I thought, I don't want to miss the bus or the train, and I need to be on top of it and do good shows. And I was away for 3 weeks and I thought, I won't. There's the temptations there. There's so much of that and all sorts of things around you.
Yeah.
But no, I can't. And then I was like, sure, I'll do a month of it. And then that just kind of kept on. And then, like, the flaws in Wexford. And I got through the Fla, like, Jesus Christ, you know, excuse me. And then got through Christmas and all that. So, like, I just said, right, I'll do a year and that'll be tomorrow. And who knows, like,
Because I was looking at one of your performances on the Late Late Show. Like your stuff was, eight minutes long, some of them.
Too bloody long.
And I saw you out in DCU there. We did a concert with the National, with the RTE Concert Orchestra. So you'd want to be on top of your game to...
Yeah, well, some people can have a drink and do that. I can't.
Can they?
No, I can't.
Can they really, though?
Well, you'll have to... that's debatable. But I know I can. I'm speaking for myself.
Yes.
That I couldn't do that. I just couldn't. And as you say, the new piece that I wrote is about 900 words as well. And so you're talking about 6 or 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And if I hit a speed bump in the middle of that, I'm gone. So I just can't. I'm also there to do a job, so I don't want to be need to show yourself.
If I come in here with a can beside me.
Although I say I'm not very professional, your poor researcher Claire, I was nearly in Marconi House earlier. Sorry about that.
10 years. 10 years. 10 years. Thanks for noticing. So the last time you spoke to us on the phone, you thought you were. That has happened in the past. So what do you want people to say? So Talk to Me is there wherever you download, and you're doing loads of things. Is any gigs coming up that you want to tell us before you've... No, we've run out of time anyway.
Yeah, sure, look, have a nice day, everybody.
Yeah, you're okay. Stephen James Smith, thanks for coming in. That's it from us. Cormac and Sarah are on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.